Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Jump right in today. I've got a short message, but I think a powerful message, and then we'll let you get your kids and grandkids and get to the fun activities. But if you got a copy of God's Word with you, or maybe you use the YouVersion Bible app because we've got notes in there, make it real easy to take notes, turn to Romans chapter 4, would you? It's in the New Testament, Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read a New Testament passage about an Old Testament character, okay? Romans chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 18, we're going to read a few verses together all the way through verse 21, and if you don't have a Bible, by the way, I say this every once in a while, if you don't have a Bible, let us know, email us, we'll get you one for free, okay? Like, you don't got to find someone, like we'll get you a good one for free, just let us know, but of course, there'll be a big, giant Bible on the screen behind me if you're in the room. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 18, if you're not there, give up and follow along with me right now. Starting in verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope. We're going to talk about Abraham. Abraham in hope, he believed, and so he became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Somebody say, face the fact. Come on, you can do better than that. Say, face the fact. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Last verse, being fully persuaded. I love that phrase. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Anybody in the building today believe that God has power to do what he had promised? I'm calling this message today. I hope you'll write this down. Against all hope. Against all hope. I hope you want to be encouraged today, because I'm going to encourage somebody in the building. Against all hope. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you for what you're doing in this church body. God, we know we're a part of the Big C Church, and we give you glory that not just in Texas and not just in our nation, but all throughout the world, there are people gathering together, believers and unbelievers. And as the believers are lifting up your name, you said, God, that you will draw all men, all women unto yourself. And so today in this church, today in many churches across the world, different nations, different languages, people are coming to know you, Jesus. This is why we gather. It's why we do what we do. And I pray that would happen today at Christ Covenant, that anybody in this room, anybody listening on the podcast that's far from you, we pray, God, it's not just me praying, we pray that you would move in their life. And by the end of the message, when they get the opportunity, they would bow their knee to you. We pray, God, they would surrender their life to you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through you. We thank you for what you've already done. We've had some fun, but we're going to keep having some fun as we dive into your word. Have your way in this place. And all God's people said, amen. Against all hope. I want to jump right in. I usually have 3 points. I got 2 points today, okay? So number one is this. If you're taking notes, jot this down. If you're not taking notes, jot this down. Number one is this. You will never become until you believe. You will never become until you believe. This is verse 18. Against all hope, the title, Abraham in hope. What happened? Notice this. He believed and so became the father of many nations. Notice that Abraham had to believe first before he could ever become the father of many nations. But let's be honest today, we don't like that order. We like to become before we believe. God, just do the thing now and then I'll believe. God, just do this now and then I'll have faith. We want to become without believing. We want the promise without the pain. Am I preaching to anybody else but myself today? Like, we want the blessing and not the burden. We want the perks but not the price. But friend, it doesn't work that way. You will never become until you first believe. You will never take hold of the promise that God has given you until you first believe in that promise and the one who promised it to you. You will never become until you first believe. And friend, we got to believe the right things and not the wrong things. We've got too many Christians, too many Christ followers walking around believing their friend more than they believe God. We got too many people walking around believing their family member or even their spouse or even somebody in their circle that instead of affirming the promise God has given them listing all the reasons of why they think God won't come through. We want to become before we believe. But friend, I got to tell you today what God's word teaches you and me. We must believe first before we'll ever become who God has called us to become. So often, enemy lies to us. And how many of y'all know we lie to ourselves? We got the worst self-talk around. And we talk negative about our situation and our circumstance. And so often, we believe the wrong thing and not the right thing. You know, I think back to the incredible true story. And many of you know this story, but it's from years and years ago. In fact, maybe not as many as I think, but I'll see you here in a second. But the year was 1870, about 150 years ago, and all the Methodist churches and pastors, they gathered together for an annual conference. In fact, I just want to do a little straw poll here. You can play along if you like, but I have any Methodist friends in the house? Can you lift up your hand? Okay, got some hands up, not too many. This is non-denominational church, okay? We got everybody up in here. Just keep it up for a second. I want y'all to notice that I got Methodists to raise their hands in church, y'all. I've been ready for that all week. This was a worship service. You lift up a holy hand. That's worship, y'all. You just raise your hand. You got crazy today. We had instruments and you raised your hand. Woo! Gonna be a good day today. Now, I've got permission to make fun of Methodists because I make fun of myself. I'm charismatic Pentecostal, y'all. And I always make fun of myself. So that gives me, well, I don't know. Don't give me the right, but I got a microphone. Anyways, so the Methodists, they're gathering together. All the denominations, they've done this for years and years and years. They're gathering together at a university. It's a true story. They're gathering together, and as they're gathering, the president of the university that's hosting the annual conference for the Methodist movement, the president of the university stands up on a platform like this, and he just begins to like preach a little bit. In fact, I think he was maybe filled with the Holy Spirit because he was like preaching, y'all. This is the president of the university, and he's like challenging the Methodist ministers, the men and women. He's encouraging them. He's saying, you know what? We live in an incredible day and age. He starts talking about, I believe that inventions, like he's prophesying over them. I believe inventions are going to take place. And then he gets really, really Pentecostal. And he says something crazy, like almost like you just say some stuff sometimes to see if it will stick, you know, like he just throws out this statement. Here's what he says. I even believe one day, it's 1870, I even believe one day that men will fly in the air like birds. That's what he says. Now at this time, airplane not invented. I believe one day men are gonna fly. And so everybody's like picturing men with like wings on, like this is crazy. Again, no concept of air travel. Like, this is crazy. And people got stirred up, but there was also some men and women that were mad. Like, how could this president stand up? Thankful we get to use his university for our conference, but how could he stand up, get on a microphone, and say something so ridiculous? Again, if it hadn't been invented before, it's pretty ridiculous. How can men and women travel through the air like a bird? And there was this one, this is a true story. Some of you know this story. It's a true story. One Methodist minister, one of the top leaders, he was so upset about this that it was just like steaming on the inside that even when he left the conference and got back home with his family, they're sitting around the dinner table, a novel idea, I know, and they're sitting around the dinner table and they're talking back and forth. And this Methodist minister is just like ragging on this president. I cannot believe that he said this. I cannot believe. This is ridiculous. This will never happen. But today I'm thankful that his two sons, Wilbur and Orville, not Redenbacher, y'all, Wright, I'm thankful that they listened to their dad in other areas, but not in this circumstance. Because as they sat around that dinner table, they didn't believe their dad, they believed God and what God had called them to do. Now, I know we take advantage of it now because no one likes to fly, but think about how amazing that is. And we got people in our circle that we're believing the wrong people instead of believing God. Can I give you one more example of this before we move on? Another question, you can participate if you like. This is the athletes in the room. I'm going to raise my hand as an example, but I have not done this. Has anyone here ever ran a four-minute mile before? Anybody in here? Nobody? We need to work out more. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, I got maybe one. Like maybe. Yeah. So the four-minute mile, it's one of those things that for centuries, civilizations were trying to run the four-minute mile. And I got to be honest with y'all, just even as Tom alluded to a moment ago, y'all, like, I'm huffing and puffing for a 10-minute mile. Like, that's me. Like, anybody sweat, like he said, going out to your car? Like, I wear contacts, and when I wear glasses instead of contacts, literally my glasses will fog up going from AC to the humidity outside. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Like it is difficult. And so for years and years and years, no one, even the best of the best, could run a 4-minute mile. And so for years, this is all true. You can look this up if you don't believe me. For years, civilizations tried everything to break the 4-minute mile. Did you know all the way back to the ancient Greeks, y'all, they did some crazy stuff to try to get there. Here's a couple of things they tried. They had wild animals chase the runners. You can look it up if you don't believe me. And I got to tell you, the animals won. Another thing they did that was really, really crazy, I don't know where they came. I mean, they were reaching, y'all. But they also, at one point in time, they would drink tiger's milk. Now, I know that you got some weird stuff at Sprouts, y'all, but you ain't finding no tiger's milk. Okay? They're trying all these things, and here's the conclusion that all these civilizations came to. They said it was physically impossible for a human being to run a mile in 4 minutes. Our bone structure was all wrong. The wind resistance was too great. Our lung power was inadequate. There were literally millions of reasons. So for thousands of years, people said it was impossible. That's what they believed. Until one day, one man proved that it could be done. I'm talking 1945 and Roger Bannister, when he broke the 4-minute mile. Now, a lot of you know that part. Here's the part I really want to point your attention to, okay? After he proved it could be done, you can look this up, 12 months later, in 1 year span of time after Roger did this, over 300 runners broke the 4-minute mile. I'm speaking to somebody's heart today. For centuries, civilization said it could not be done. Tried some weird stuff to try to make it happen. It could not be done, and everybody believed it but one man. And then when he proved it could be done, 300 plus in 1 year, they did what everybody said was impossible. What am I trying to get across today to you, friend? You've got to believe the right things and not the wrong things. You got to believe God and not your friend. You got to believe God and not your spouse. You got to believe God and not your family. Remember, you can help me out today, okay? Not gonna get in trouble for clapping and cheering and praising God in church. Like, we've gotta believe the right things. We will never become unless we first believe. And I realize, friend, that when it comes to the promise God has given you, a lot of it may seem impossible. How could God save my kids? How will I finally find that right relationship? How will I overcome addiction? How will my marriage ever get better? Friend, you've got to believe before you can become. You've got to have faith that God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he will do. We want to become before we believe. God, you just show me and then I'll believe. That's not how faith works. Here's a second point. Hope you'll jot this down. It's a long one, but it's a good one. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. My favorite verse in this. Thank you so much. My favorite verse is verse 19, the ones we read. Without weakening in his faith. Notice that. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. I had you repeat that on purpose, friend. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. What was the fact? His body was as good as dead. I don't know about y'all, but man, the Bible is funny. Like it is funny. In fact, if you read the Bible and you don't think it's funny, you're reading it wrong. Just letting you know. Like, the Bible is hilarious. It's funny. I'm telling you, you got to put yourself in the scenarios. In fact, speaking of funny, can I tell you something else? And you definitely know this. Christians, we are funny. We are weird. In fact, I got a lot of people I know that I wish you didn't tell people you were a Christian because you do some weird stuff. Like, you ever known somebody, their heart's in the right place, but their head is way behind? You know what I'm talking about? How's it going, wasn't it? Yeah. like we do some weird stuff. And if you're thinking today, no, Pastor, we don't do weird stuff. Guess what? You're weird. Okay, just letting you know. Just like we do some weird stuff. In fact, we invented a whole language called Christianese. If you're brand new to the faith, you don't know what that is, ask somebody that looks like they've been around for a little while. They'll let you know. Like, we got language that we use. And here's what we're notorious for. It's weird. Here's what we're notorious for. We're notorious Christ followers. Let's pick on us for a second. We are notorious for pretending like we don't have pain and pretending like we don't have problems, even though it's obvious we do. We're notorious for it. Hey, Lisa, how's your leg doing? Oh, it's great. Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Lisa, you're about to fall down right now. Oh, I'm good. Oh, it's the other leg. Sorry, I'm good. Larry, how's your marriage? Larry, oh, it's great. This is great. Same old, going good. When Larry's sleeping on the couch for like the fourth week in a row, falling asleep to SportsCenter in a whole bag, not half bag, whole bag of hot fries. Y'all know hot fries? You know what I'm talking about? Like don't eat the whole bag, okay? Like we are notorious for pretending like we don't have pain when we do. And if I'm taking notes, I hope you'll write this down. Friend, denial is not faith. Man, I got to break some bad theology in some Christ followers today. Denial is not faith. Real faith faces the facts. Man, I'm preaching good today. I wish somebody would help me out. Man, real faith faces the facts. Yeah, things aren't good right now, but I still believe God is going to come through. Yeah, I still need a healing, but I still believe God is going to heal me. I love how the Bible puts it. It's so plain. It's hilarious, y'all. Abraham's body is as good as dead. Did you know it's talking about his reproductive self? I won't go any farther than that. If you haven't caught up yet, you ain't gonna catch up, okay? That's what it's talking about. And just in case we didn't catch it, he lets us know that Sarah's womb was dead as well. I'm just telling you, the Bible's like real talk, y'all, like real talk. And so there they are. And I'm telling you, there's some issues, there's some problems, but Abraham, he faced the fact. He's like, it is what it is. It is what it is. Sarah, we should have done this whole baby thing like 60 years ago at least. I got problems and you got problems. They're going to read about this like centuries later. Like, it is what it is. Come on, somebody say, it is what it is. I didn't go to college. It is what it is. I've been passed over for the last 3 promotions because my boss is a sexist. It is what it is. I'm still looking for a job. It is what it is. We've been trying to have kids for years. It is what it is. Real faith faces the facts, but keeps the faith. I wish there was like a wall that like could karate kick down right now. I'm pumped up, y'all. Just saying. Just picture it, okay? Just picture it. Like, real faith faces the facts, but keeps the faith. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, denial is not faith. God, in Jesus' name, break off that bad theology on your people. Pretending like the pain's not there, that is not faith. It is what it is. Lord, I'm disappointed right now. Did you know you could tell God that? He's big enough to handle your disappointment. God, I'm disappointed right now, but I believe that you'll come through. It is what it is, and here's the kicker, but it's not what it seems. It is what it is. It don't look good, y'all. It does not look good. My marriage doesn't look good. My kids are away from the Lord. I'm telling you, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills on Monday. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. My God will come through. My God provides. My God never has broken a promise. Not one day in his life, not one moment in his life. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. I love how one Bible scholar puts it. This is beautiful, way more profound than I could ever say it. Here's what they said. Abraham concluded, like he made a decision, that the certainty of the divine promise outweighed every natural improbability. I love that. Abraham, against all hope, believed in hope. He believed and he would leave a legacy. He would believe and he would do a great work for God. He believed and then he could accomplish everything God had promised to him. Did you know that God had promised that his descendants, you and me, would outnumber the stars in the sky? It's a big promise. It's a big promise, especially for someone pushing triple digits who hasn't had a son with his wife, Sarah. And I love what the Bible says, and it's my favorite phrase in all of the verses we read. But the Bible says that despite the facts, Abraham was fully persuaded. You know what that means, friend? That somebody could stand on a platform and tell him how it wasn't going to work out, but he wouldn't believe him. You know what that means, friend? That even somebody who was really, really close to him could stand up in his life and tell him, hey, this is the fact, this. And you know what Abraham would say? Yeah, I see the facts. I've faced the facts, but you don't know my God. That's what he would say. You don't know my God. I am fully persuaded of this. And so here's my question, and I hope you'll write it down. Here's my question I want you to think on today. Are you fully persuaded? Make that applicable to your whole life, like your world, your everything. Like, am I fully persuaded when it comes to your business that you own that's struggling, not off the ground like you wished and hoped it would? Are you fully persuaded? When it comes to that ministry that you're launching or you want to launch in the future, are you fully persuaded? When it comes to your marriage, like lasting and leaving a legacy with your kids and your grandkids and their kids and their kids and so on. Like, are you fully persuaded? If God's promised you that you're going to be at this job, or God's promised you that you're going to be at this place, or God's promised you that there's going to be restoration in this relationship that you have that definitely needs it. Are you fully persuaded? Like, could anybody get you off of that belief? If so, you are not fully persuaded. God has got to get you to that point today where you are fully persuaded that he is who he says he is and that he'll do what he said he would do. Can I tell you something? Let me talk to the parents and the grandparents for a moment. God has a legacy for you to leave here on this earth that will outlive you. In fact, can I preach from my heart for a moment? I got notes and stuff we're going to get to. But can I just share my heart with you? Like, this is important. Parents, grandparents, you lean into this. Your greatest legacy is your kids and grandkids. Like, your greatest legacy. And not them making a lot of money one day. Not them living in their dream house and dream spouse. Like, that's not a W. The W is them living for and serving the Lord. That's a W. Even if they got zero in the bank, but they're trusting God every day. Remember he did in the Bible, it was called manna. And every single day, trusting him and leaning into him. I'm telling you, that's a W. In fact, I've said it before, and this is just my heart to your heart. I've said it before in this house several times, and I've only been here 21 months. I'm going to say it again. As our church keeps growing, as God keeps extending our reach, I will never hear it. Like, can y'all, we save every message, right? This is going to be safe. Like, I will never sacrifice my family on the altar of this church. Like never. I love you. I care about you, but I love them more. I'm just telling you the truth today. Why would I not model something I'm asking you to do? And I know not everybody will applaud. I know everybody wants me available every second. Well, you shouldn't go on vacation. You should have your cell phone on. Well, you shouldn't have a day off. Can I tell you something? I'm just speaking from the heart. I hope you receive this. If I'm unhealthy, I am no good to you anyways. Like, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. We got, like, this is not a one-man deal. Like, we got people that can step in. I don't have extra power that our elders don't have, or our staff don't have, or our volunteers don't have. It's the same Jesus, right? Like, I don't got a different Jesus than you've got. I'm just preaching from the heart today. And so, parents, lean into this. Your greatest legacy is your children. You should pour everything into them. It is a loss for me. It is an L for me if I lose my kids and my wife but gain a big church. It is a loss for me. And friend, peace out, Girl Scout. I'm out. I ain't about that life. So my friends are clapping for me because y'all want me healthy, and I appreciate that. I'm no good to anybody if I'm not healthy. We've got to leave a legacy that will outlive us. Can I give you some context today? A little bit more about Abraham, because this story takes up a lot of the Old Testament. Amazing story. His name was first Abram. God renamed him. Love that. There's an illustration and a message right up in there. But I want to tell you something, give you some context. When you go back to the genesis of this promise, okay? I'm almost done. When you go back to the genesis of this promise, when God first gave this promise, you'd be the father of many nations to Abraham. Did you know it took somewhere around 25 years for Abraham and Sarah to have their first son, Isaac? If I'm taking notes, I'll write down 25 years of waiting right now. I want to be shaking while I write it down because I don't like that. But around 25 years, most Bible scholars, they add up the time they look at it, from the first promise to when they had their first son. Now, if you know Abraham's story, and some of you do, a lot of times they got in front of God during the waiting. And don't you love that about the Bible too? Man, I just love the Bible. The Bible doesn't show perfect people. The Bible shows imperfect people following a perfect God. And so as you read Abraham's story, and I wish you would if you haven't read it before, they got in front of God. Like literally used another woman to help bring about the promise that God had given. I'm telling y'all, the Bible is R-rated, okay? Like they got in front of God big time. But through God's grace, and that's good news for somebody today, that through God's grace and through God's mercy, God helped them through that process. Can I tell you something today, friend? It's going to encourage you that when you fall down, you get back up with God's help. That when you miss it, you get back up. God will give you strength to move forward. Anybody fallen down before and God helped you back up to move forward? I'm telling you, He's a good God that way. And so even though they missed it, and even though they made mistakes, and I think we can all relate to that through God's grace and through God's mercy and in God's perfect timing, 25 years, it's a lot of waiting. In His perfect timing, God came through and they had Isaac. And I'm telling you today, friend, it is what it is, but it's not what it seems. That God is doing something that maybe you can't see. It's a word for somebody. God's doing something that maybe you can't see. Maybe your spouse can't see it. Maybe your best friend can't see it. But God is working behind the scenes. And if you will face the fact, but keep the faith. If you will not weaken in your faith as you face the facts, God will come through. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. Let's pray. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes all across the house. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. It is what it is. My marriage is on the rocks, but it's not what it seems. God's working on me. He's working on us. It is what it is. My kids are far from the Lord. I taught them better. They're not living the life that I prayed for and I dreamed for. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems. There's good seed that's been sowed into their life, and their day's coming where they're going to be the prodigal returning home. It is what it is. I've been out of a job for months, and unemployment is running out. It doesn't look good, but it's not what it seems, because God already knows the job He has for me. God already knows where I'm going to get my first paycheck from. God already knows my mission field he's calling me to win my coworkers to him. It is what it is. I got this physical ailment in my body. Things aren't good. The cancer report, it's horrible. This disease that I have, it's horrible. This sickness, I keep battling and I keep losing that fight. It's horrible. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems, because my God is a healer. My God can do what no other man or woman can do. My God provides. Keep those eyes closed with me. Right now, the Holy Spirit's trying to deposit faith in you. Stop worrying about becoming. Focus on believing. Stop getting caught up in, I gotta do this or be that. Just lean into Jesus. Somebody's gotta hear this today, just being led by the Holy Spirit right now. Somebody's gotta hear this. God has not forgotten the promise he gave you. He may seem slow in our timing, but his timing is perfect. See, some of our dreams, they're a slow burn. God knows that if he gave it to us right now, it would destroy us. He's got to work on us some more. He's got to mold us some more. God, I pray right now, we just trust in your timing. We trust in your timing. That even if it takes years, we trust in your timing. May faith rise up, and we thank you for the grace that anytime we get out in front of you, God, you'll pull us back. That anytime we fall and we skin our knee, God, you're gonna help us back up. That anytime we sin before you, we're gonna run after you and ask you to forgive us, and you're gonna help us keep moving forward. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And eyes closed, heads bowed all across this house, and those listening online on the podcast, if you're able to, close your eyes too. But I want to lift up right now those represented in the audience, those of you that are far from the Lord. And you hear a message about belief, and you hear a message about faith, and some pastor who you hardly know is preaching and he's going and he's got these illustrations. But more than any of that, the point I want to get you to today is not the church, is not me, it's Jesus. I have nothing to offer you. This church has nothing to offer you but Jesus. He is the one that you need. He can change everything. He can change you, but you've got to surrender to him. I've told you some good news today. I've encouraged some people today. But the best news you can ever hear throughout your entire life is that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. That Jesus sacrificed his very life on the cross. We call it Good Friday here in America and throughout the world. It was a Good Friday for us, but not for the Lord. He died. He gave it all. His very life for you and for me. But Easter, 3 days later, we celebrate that everywhere as well. And Easter was a great day for all of us because our God is not dead. He is alive. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's seated right now at the right hand of the Father, ready to come back for his church. And friend, that's the best news you'll ever hear. And so here's what we want to do today. Eyes closed, heads bowed, please, honoring this holy moment. I can't see those listening online, but you respond. I can see those in this room. If you're here today and you're far from the Lord, you've never surrendered your life to him, or maybe you need to re-surrender your life to him, a fresh start. If that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. Not going to move you to another room, but right where you're seated, could you lift up your hand so I could see it? Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much for your honesty. Don't miss your moment, friend. Don't miss your moment. You can put your hand down once it's up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not going to be the three hands that were lifted in this room and any lifted on the podcast. It's also going to be all the believers, all the Christ followers. It's going to be a lot of voices. It's going to let you know, friend, that you're not alone. It's a prayer of commitment to Jesus. And if you mean this prayer that we're going to say together in a moment, you can know that you know that you know that Jesus hears you and he saves you. So those that lifted your hand and also all the Christ followers, say this: dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I don't deserve it. I can't earn it, but it's mine. Jesus, I believe. Come on, say that again. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Make me new. Clean me up from the inside out. Jesus, I commit my life to you. I pray, not in my name, but in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Can somebody give God glory and worship the Lord? We love you, Lord. You're so good.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.